Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. And normally, I would be saying that we're doing an album review right now, but we're not going to do an album review today because we're doing something different. Yay. And to help me along with this something different, I, of course, have my co-host, Jacob Crum.
How you doing?
And Greg Harvey.
Hey, guys.
And before I get into what we're actually going to discuss today, I just wanted to say, if you enjoy the show, please go to followthesoundpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner. That'll take you to Amazon. You can do all your normal shopping there, as well you should. Or, if you're feeling even better, sign up for Amazon Prime, which is one of the greatest things on earth. Which then allows you to access to Amazon Music, which is single-handedly one of the greatest music things on earth. But if you go there, you do your normal shopping, doesn't cost you anything extra, we get a little bit of money back. So, very simple. Go to our website, click on the Amazon banner, or go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Goes to the exact same spot. Very, very simple. So, guys, I know we had a discussion earlier in the week, and I said, hey, what if we did a top five movie soundtracks episode? And you guys were obviously like, that's the greatest idea ever, Brian. You're a genius.
Yes.
So I decided to progress with that, but we got some rules for this top five.
I think that the rules is what made this really fun.
Yes,
and interesting
the rules were of course that it had to be a soundtrack that was for a non-musical. So The Sound of Music couldn't be listed, I guess like West Side Story or, you know, something along those lines. Something that is basically the entire movie was all just about that music.
And then we went deeper into it and specified, too, that we considered any movie that the music was performed in it would kind of count as a musical, too. So we considered the Blues Brothers or...
So Blues Brothers or Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, I considered to be a musical. Or a couple of the other ones, too, that you know, are more recent stuff, which eliminated basically like a bunch of my all-time favorite music movies.
But what it also did, too, was it got rid of a lot of, like, the easy gimme ones.
You know?
So you're not saying, oh, yeah, Blues Brothers. Oh, yeah, because, Oh, Brother, We're Out There. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could give you my top five, like just straight music soundtracks right now. Because, I mean, that's a simple, simple thing for me to do. I'm not going to do that because I'm going to save that for a later episode when we do another one of these. But, so we'll do top five musical soundtracks. And just have a little fun with that. I'm sure I've seen way more musicals than you guys, though, because I'm weird like that. But that's me. But so we're doing top five non-musicals. This does include scores. And it does include, just your straightforward soundtracks where they got other people's music to play on there. Basically creating like a really great compilation disc. But we also have some scores in here, too, because at least it's not like... The movie wasn't just about the music, but it was music that was really, really good and played in the background. But let's get to some honorable mentions first, because obviously with anything that we do with the top five, it became nearly impossible for us to pick just five. And the more I had my top five ready to go, and I was like, this easy, top five, boom. And then I was like, oh, what about this one soundtrack? Oh, dang it, what about this other one? It's like, man, I totally should have put this other one on my list. So my honorable mentions are as follows. For one, I Am Sam. You guys ever heard the I Am Sam soundtrack?
No.
I Want You to Kill.
No. So the I Am Sam soundtrack is all Beatles music, but it's not performed by any of the Beatles.
Oh, cool. Mm. Cool, cool.
So they've got like Across the Universe performed by Rufus Wainwright. And like some other ones. I mean, let me see. I think I grabbed a couple of these over here. Blackbirds, performed by Sarah McLachlan. You've got A Hide Your Love Away, performed by Eddie Vedder. Strawberry Fields, performed by Ben Harper. I mean, it's just like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, performed by the Black Crowes. Golden Slumbers by Ben Folds Five, or Ben Folds. Sorry, it's not five anymore. Let It Be by Nick Cave. Like, really? Nick Cave?
This is really high quality for an honorable mention.
Yeah, I know. But it was just one of those things where it's just such a superb soundtrack that even if it's not in my top five, definitely needs to be done. So moving on from there, I've got Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh.
Womp, womp. But that one's in there just because it's such a well-known soundtrack. Just from the Beatles stuff that they had in there, from him doing Donka Shane to the other random songs that they have in there. And then, of course, the famous, you know, song like at the very end there and in the beginning.
The Oh Yeah by Yella?
Yeah. Oh Yeah. Bomp, bomp.
Boom.
Of course, on my list, I've got the Highlander soundtrack entirely done by Queen, which is single-handedly one of the greatest like rock albums ever put to a movie.
Princess of the Universe.
Makes you feel so happy. Actually, you know what song I really loved was Kurgan's theme. Gimme the Prize.
Oh, yeah.
Gimme the prize. Just gimme the prize. Such a good one. And then let's see here, moving on up from there, the Hudsucker Proxy, which I actually, just in my little bit of research that I was doing before, I was like, I want to go back through and listen to a couple of these ones. I had no clue that the person who actually wrote the song that I really love from the Hudsucker Proxy was Aram Khachaturian, who I've been hearing about on one of the other lineup media shows, Armenia Proud. They've been bringing up this dude like for the last year, and I never listened to any of his stuff. And then finally I listened back to it and I was like, oh my goodness, it's this song. Like, oh, I love this song. So there you go. Yet another reason why Armenians contribute to our world.
I think
my friend Jono is going to be very happy about that statement.
That's great for Armenia. Although I will say that I'm pretty sure every country contributes to our world.
Yes, yes.
In the literal sense.
And then, and then finally on my honorable mentions, though, I've got the Elizabethtown soundtrack. Now, if you have not heard this soundtrack, it is a great compilation of some sort of low-key songs. But one of the reasons why I think it's so good is because it has Shut Us Down by Lindsey Buckingham on it, and that's like my favorite Lindsey Buckingham song.
Oh, wow. So,
but it's got a lot of really good stuff. And I've actually been to Elizabethtown. You know, it's like south of Louisville. Great little town. It's just funny and colorful, so good stuff. But that's all I got for my honorable mentions. Jake, what do you got?
Oh, this is like so difficult. So I'm just gonna say Trainspotting. Enough said.
It was mm-hmm.
just really good music.
Isn't there a sequel to Trainspotting on like right now
yes,
in theaters?
Yeah.
It's like T2's Trainspotting or something. I want to go see it, but at the same time, I'm kind of terrified to go see it. Because I know it's not going to be as good. I know it's not going to be as good.
No baby would terrify me in a film nearly as much as that baby crawling on the ceiling did in high school, like at the time. The
movie was messed up in and of itself. But
it's interesting that that's an honorable mention because if you just Google, you know, top soundtracks, Trainspotting makes the top of almost everyone's list.
Very good
but
soundtrack.
I felt like there were five more that were either more important to me or kind of just surpassed the legacy.
Yeah,
and you know, I think that is good to include is that in our rules, too, you got to keep in mind that these are personal preferences, you know?
These are just our top fives or honorable mentions at this point.
Which I
think it's all personal to us. Yeah. So, you know, if you've got your own top five, let us know on Facebook or on Twitter. You can find us at Follow the Sound Podcast on Facebook or at I Follow the Sound on Twitter. Please let us know what your top five is. I'm actually going to I'm gonna post a comment about this whenever we actually put the show up to try and get people to interact. And I think that'll be really good.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to when we can then get feedback from the listeners as to what yours are.
Yeah.
Because this is our personal individual preferences here.
So, Jake, what else you got?
Superfly.
Of
all
course.
All done by Curtis Mayfield.
Yep.
High concept album. The only reason I don't want to talk about it more is because I don't know my R&B that well.
No, that's true.
So getting little references and going, hey, this guy used this here and this person played on this guy. I can't do that with that.
Yeah.
So there's that. And, all right. I'm going to say possibly the reason we even have this show, American Graffiti.
Yeah.
American Graffiti, important in the soundtrack world. It wasn't the first film to take pop culture songs, put them together, and then have that as the score of the film. But it was the first one that actually sold albums afterwards and people paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
It was a superb compilation album.
Yeah. And also, I'm going to say Guardians of the Galaxy, just because it's the only soundtrack that has sold, like, on iTunes ever.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like music is not consumed the same way it used to be in album purchases, but Guardians of the Galaxy did. That trailer with...
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
Right? I mean, that like...
I can't stop this feeling.
I mean, I hate to sound corny, be like, it introduced soundtracks to a new generation of listeners, but yeah, kind of.
I agree.
Sidetrack, nerd moment completely, but I loved that movie,
actually. So there
we go.
I can throw my notes away now because I don't need to talk about that anymore.
Guardians of the Galaxy was a fun movie, and I'm super looking forward to the next one. So my wife even loved it, so... That just goes to show
that
good of a movie right there. So, Greg, what you got for your honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions. So my honorable mentions are basically when I sat down to make this list, what were some of the first ones that popped in my head that later on just got kind of pushed off the list?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the first ones that came to my mind was Wayne's World.
Mm.
The reason it didn't make my list is because I've owned the soundtrack for years. Honestly, soundtrack's actually not that good, the actual movie soundtrack. But the movie itself had a lot of great music in it. Mm-hmm. So that's why it makes an honorable mention.
I remember because it was in the first one, though, that they played Hendrix, right? When they did Foxy Lady, or was that in number two?
Yeah, it was the first one with Foxy Lady.
I remember that.
But Foxy Lady didn't make the soundtrack.
Really?
You know? So that's why it's kind of fallen in the honorable mention category.
See, that's one of the reasons why soundtracks can be very deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be like, oh man, such a great song that they used in this in the movie. And then you buy the soundtrack and it's like, wait, no, this doesn't even have the song on there that I liked.
Yeah.
I've had that happen with a couple of different soundtracks that I really, really loved to where I was like, oh man, I want to buy this so much. And then... I get it, and there's nothing good on there that I really, really liked. It's like, you know, it's all the score and stuff. And I was like, I don't want the score. I want, like, the other songs that you played.
Yep.
I came here for Dusty Springfield.
Yeah. So that's why Wayne's World is where it is, because the actual album the soundtrack does have Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
Of course, which is such an iconic, classic music and movie moment.
Yes, even to this day, I remember in school, and they played Bohemian Rhapsody, and I was sitting on the back row with a couple of other guys. The moment they kicked it into high gear, we all started headbanging because of that movie.
It's what you do. Absolutely. I'm the same way. But the one thing off that soundtrack I did love was it introduced me to a Red Hot Chili Pepper song called Sicca Mechanico, which, as far as I know... I haven't really heard it anywhere else before. It might have been off the Blood Sex Sugar Magic whole deal.
I think the only release officially was the B-side of some single. I don't think it was on that album.
So that's the only place I ever heard it was the soundtrack. So I loved that. So Wayne's World, honorable mention. Another one, and this is kind of because it clumps into some song to a couple of movies I did put on my list.
Mm.
Remember the Titans, believe it or not. And that's because they really dug in that movie into a lot of those old classic ones, like, for, you know, Ain't No Mountain High, No Valley Low, and, you know, everybody's kind of grooving. But the music to that movie really fit the mood.
Didn't that have a young Ryan Gosling in it?
Yes, it did.
And he was into country music in that movie. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was teaching his teammates how to line dance.
Yes.
So they were like line dancing to like hip hop and, you know, and like all these great songs.
That was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. So that soundtrack, you know, it really fit the movie well, and it really helped hit the emotions they wanted you to feel.
Yes.
As you viewed it.
All right. So are we going to get into our top five now?
I think we should.
Let's get into our top five. We'll each take it. Start at number five, work our ways to number one, but I'm going to start it out with The Godfather.
Ooh.
Now,
interesting choice.
I know, and you guys, I'm sure when you saw it on my list, you were like, really? The Godfather? Like, why? And there is one clear reason for it. I had never watched The Godfather until I was well into my teen years, you know, maybe even my 20s, actually. I don't fully remember. But I remember watching another video, and it had a trailer there before it saying, you know, it's like The Godfather now, like, you know, redone. It's like perfect picture quality and sound and blah, 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 blah. But the music they were playing was the main theme from The Godfather. Yeah, and it was that da 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 da. And it grabbed my attention so quickly. I was like, oh my goodness, that song's amazing. And I was like, I literally just wanted to watch the movie just so I could hear that song again. And then when I got the movie and I started watching, I actually got like that edition too, because it was at the library. And I started listening to it as the music plays. And I know they've got the Johnny Fontaine song in there somewhere too. It's like, but all the scores that they had for the movie are just really, really well done and fit so perfectly with that movie. Like, it is the perfect meld of soundtrack and film. And then it's like just so classically Italian sounding that it's like, it's perfect. And I loved it. It's probably my favorite score for any movie out there. So
that's a good choice. Good choice. Iconic.
Next to, obviously next to the Hudsucker Proxy, which would, you know, be high up there for a score as well. But Jake, what do you got for number five?
All right. For number five, definitely not anything composed by a classical genius like Giovanni Rota. Instead, I have the soundtrack for Above the Rim. Possibly.
All right. You're going to have to explain this one to me.
Okay. Above the Rim. Because
I've seen the movie like once, and I can't tell you anything about the soundtrack.
Well, Above the Rim came out in 1994, and the film is more or less forgettable as far as I'm concerned. There's no outstanding performances I really enjoyed. It's important because of the soundtrack. It's important because the soundtrack launched several artists. 1994 also was good timing-wise for hip-hop to kind of actually start breaking into the ears of new audiences. And it also had critical acclaim. Like, there's a lot of albums that, especially soundtracks, that will sell really well, like the Titanic soundtrack,
you know,
based on one song.
Yeah.
And then there's just not much else there.
It's that one song, and then it's like other scores.
Right. But Above the Rim came out, and all of 1994 hip-hop charts came off of Above the Rim. They released singles off of it with B-sides. One B-side being Tupac's remix of Pain, which was huge. It was huge. I think it was the biggest thing on the hip-hop charts albums. What else came out of that? We've got... If technology will work for me. We've got Dog Pound for Life was on the soundtrack. Doggy Style, Big Pimpin'. Regulate, Warren G. Kind of came back into the charts. It charted. Like, Warren G came back in the charts after, like, being gone for 6 years. So.
Wow. Good choice, then.
Warren G and Nate Dogg had to regulate.
Greg, what you got?
Okay. So, number five, I think, transitions well from what Jake was just saying. My number five is got a bit of a tie going on because it kind of, the more I thought about it, the more I kept adding movie titles to the theme here. So, the first one I thought of was Hustle and Flow.
Yeah, good one.
And I think that's a fantastic movie. It's focused around music. And, of course, 3-6 Mafia won the Academy Award for Best Song with Heart Out Here for a Pimp.
And Terrence Howard.
Yep, Terrence Howard plays DJ from Memphis, Tennessee. And it's just an excellent movie, but it's a fictional one. And as I thought about that, then I thought, well, but you know what? I absolutely love the soundtrack and the movie Get Rich or Die Trying, which is the one starring and is about 50 Cent.
50.
And I absolutely love that. That movie had its own soundtrack that he released as an album that was just the soundtrack to Get Rich or Die Trying. I mean, the album was called Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, yeah.
He has the album, then he also has the album for the movie, which were two different things.
Yes, yes.
And that features some notable tracks as Hustler's Ambition, which was a really good song. Window Shopper was another one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. And Whip Your Head.
Yeah.
I'll whip your head, boy. I love that movie. And then it made me think how much I love 8 Mile.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It made me think about Straight Outta Compton.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about Notorious. And so I kind of wanted to. And so I kind of wanted to cluster all of those kind of those rapper biopics.
Yeah.
That all came out that featured their music, but it was also had original new stuff. So that's my number five, is kind of hustle
Good
and
call.
Flow, then branching out.
Good call. I like that. Let's see. Moving on to number four. For me, I got Friday Night Lights.
Woo!
Now, Friday Night Lights is one of these soundtracks that was basically the entire thing was done by one band. And that band is called Explosions in the Sky. Explosions in the Sky just does instrumental music. Very, very rarely will they do anything with actual lyrics. But they did this soundtrack. And I remember, like, where I was. I went and saw it because I was like, oh, it's a football movie. I went to one of the cheap theaters. I paid like $2 to get in and to see it. And I sat there and I watched this movie and I was like, wow, this movie's really good. But the reason why I thought it was really good was because of the music. So I've seen Explosions in the Sky now as well twice live, and they are just as good live as they are on any of these soundtracks. But I mean, like, even just the first song on the album here, From West Texas, mind-bogglingly good. And it's just like everything is layered so well with their electric guitars and the way that they use their drums. And like all of that, because they've got to be entertaining without any lyrics. And so they just go for like brute acoustic sound. And I'm not saying like acoustic is in guitars, like acoustic guitar, but I mean just like straight raw sound without really getting into like the extreme distortion. So they love using like certain effects pedals that like sustain sounds and build on there. And they love doing like each person doing a different sort of part to a guitar riff, but in different portions of it that blend together exceptionally well. Brilliant, brilliant soundtrack, all done by Explosions in the Sky. And then to top it off with the way that they filmed the movie, where it's kind of like washed out on color a little bit because it's supposed to take place like in, I believe, the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy, crazy good. It's one of my all-time favorite sports movies, and I'm not like a huge sports guy, but I love that one, and I love that soundtrack. Number four, Friday Night Lights, all done by Explosions in the Sky.
Solid. Solid.
Go for it, Jake.
I like it. All right. Here we go. When I mentioned this one, Brian, I think, slapped himself in the forehead with both hands.
That I did.
He had completely forgotten about this. But Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Crazy good soundtrack. Crazy good.
Yeah. That's a sweet movie.
Not only did they get the movie perfect for the audience that it was going for, but they got the soundtrack perfect for the movie, because every artist that's like on this soundtrack recording original music for this movie, it was completely understood what everyone was going for.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Beck Hansen.
Well, I mean, Beck himself like recorded, or, I mean, not recorded, but he did all of the Sex Bob-omb songs.
Yes, yes.
And so, but he actually got the actors to record their performances.
Yes.
And so when you're hearing them play, like, that's actually them playing those songs. But he's the one who kind of like orchestrated them. I know that much.
Yeah.
But I got to say, on that soundtrack, like, my favorite song on the soundtrack, and the entire reason as to actually why I bought the soundtrack in and of itself, was for Black Sheep by Metric.
Ooh, yeah.
Otherwise known as, in the movie, as The Clash at Demon Head.
Yes.
But the saddest part about it, though, is that the version on the soundtrack isn't the version in the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Subtle differences. But I noticed it because there was a certain vocal line that she does in the original recording of Black Sheep that she didn't do in the movie itself. It's just a small little thing. It's just a certain effect that they do in a way that she sings a certain line. But I could tell just from that alone that it wasn't the same one. And so anytime I listen to the song anymore, I find the clip on YouTube. Because it's the better version, in my opinion.
You are right, though, about like the music fitting the movie so well, because it is. It's all about like that indie kind of vibe, you know? Yeah. And all those bands that participated in it and got in it, they got it.
My favorite Sex Bob-omb song, though, on there is Threshold.
Threshold, okay.
I'm reaching my threshold.
Garbage
my
truck.
Threshold. That's the one they play against the twin brothers.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Garbage Truck is good. Launchpad McQuack in the beginning. Let's do Launchpad McQuack. That's not the name of the song. 1, 2, 3, 4.
What a good film. I got to go watch that.
That's funny.
I watched it last week, actually. Yeah. So that's why I'm so amazed that I didn't remember it. I was like, oh, it's so good. But I also wanted to point out that even though it does follow a band throughout the entire movie and there's a ton of music that is involved with it, I didn't consider it a musical because it's more of a fight movie than anything.
Fair enough.
Because, I mean, the fight scenes are just so good. The music is a secondary thing.
Right. My thing with musicals is that the music has to advance the plot. And I never felt that any of the songs were advancing the plot so much as just supplementing the meat of the scene.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
You know? It's kind of like watching a Shirley Temple movie. You know? Like, everyone goes to see Shirley Temple sing on the Good Ship Lollipop, but that doesn't advance the plot of the film at all, you know?
It's like the same thing with Elvis's Love Me Tender. That's not a musical at all.
Okay.
Because the only song in there is Love Me Tender, and he plays it one time.
Mm.
But it advances the plot in one particular way. They wanted to sell more records, and so they put it in a movie. And that's it.
Fair enough.
You got anything else to add for it, Jake?
I don't know.
Sorry, I kind of jumped in there, too.
I'm fine with it. You said as much as I wanted to say. I just really enjoy it.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim versus the World is an amazing film and an amazing soundtrack in and of itself. And just if you want to hear, just sort of cool retro Beck music, it's like in the performance of Sex Bob-omb, then that's the soundtrack that you need to buy.
I think for a lot of the movies that are going to be on this list, too, that's one of the ones that it has a lot more current music stuff that you could actually look into and maybe discover some new bands. Because a lot of the stuff on my list are old classics. You know?
Yes.
And you'll come to see that here in just a few minutes. But so is it my turn?
Yes, your turn, my friend.
Well, my number four has kind of switched a little bit in the last moment, because my number four originally was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Why not? I mean, we didn't really talk about the soundtrack. So.
And the reason I picked it is because that movie is one of the few movies I've seen that isn't like, you know, oh, here's the story of this band or this artist. Or this was a movie that was its own thing, but it intentionally broke the fourth wall in a sense with the soundtrack.
Because the entire
movie, one of the big plot points is that he has this one cassette tape from back in his childhood. When his mom made it for him, and that is like the 12 songs that he listens to on repeat for rest of eternity, essentially. That's all the music he has. But the songs were just classic, you know, mostly like 60s and 70s pop songs. But they were good, and the opening scene of that movie, you know, where Star-Lord, he's just on some planet, and it just starts with, like you said, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga. But when they kick into, you know, hooked on a feeling, ba ba ba, and while he's doing that, he's, like, shooting an alien. And then he, like, kicks, he, like, punts, like, like a little velociraptor-looking alien, you know. And so he's basically, like, kind of, you know, groove into his music while he's also like battling aliens all nonchalant.
Yeah.
And all the music,
good stuff.
It really adds a very interesting dynamic to the whole film, because it's futuristic. It's supposed to be off in another galaxy and with all these strange creatures, and yet it's all familiar stuff from back on Earth.
Yes.
And it did. It really kind of changed the whole
perception.
And campy
as hell.
Yeah.
Like, that song is so campy.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they were going for. And so I'm giving them a little bit of kudos here that they acknowledged the soundtrack and just was all about it. And that's like one of the focal points of the film.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the next soundtrack is going to be like, because course, same director, same cast, same like everything. It's just that it's going to be, you know, a new movie,
and they
already did the setup in the first one for, you know,
awesome mix
number two.
Volume two.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, they even named the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume Two.
Yep.
So
yeah, so they played.
You knew a soundtrack hit a chord when you can get a credit card with, you know, Awesome Mix Volume One, like, on the front of it.
You know,
that's when you know you've done something amazing.
On Arsenal Street in St. Louis, near Tower Grove.
Yes.
Gorilla Street Food, you go in there and they've got all kinds of music stuff. But in their little cassette player sitting right next to the cash register, the cassette that's in it says Awesome Mix Volume 1, and it's the one from Guardians of the Galaxy. And so
Nice.
That's a cool little deal there. So,
all right, moving on to number three for me. I got Pulp Fiction.
You knew it was going to be on one of
ours. It was going to be on one of our lists, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, a couple weeks ago, you know, when I did the show with my brother, we actually talked about one of the songs on this because it's the Flowers on the Wall, or Counting Flowers on the Wall, because that song like beat another song in music history. I'm blanking on what it was. But I started singing the song, and Jamie goes, he was like, I can't help but think of like Bruce Willis. It's like running over Marcellus Wallace. It's like in that scene, because that's the song that Bruce Willis is singing when he hits him with a car.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's great. But the rest of the soundtrack, I mean, even from the very beginning when Pulp Fiction comes up, you know, with that.
That is one of my, I love that song.
Great use of that song in and of itself. And then, I mean, like, let's see, they've got the Flowers on the Wall. I mean, like, Son of a Preacher Man on there. You Never Can Tell, which, you know, is the written by Chuck Berry. It's like, and then performed on there for when they do the twist competition.
Yeah.
You know, when they're at Jackrabbit Slim's drinking the $5 shake.
Yeah.
But
Urge Overkill is the standout song to me for that. That's the first thing I go to when I think of that soundtrack.
When you think of Pulp Fiction?
Neil Diamond, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
Hmm.
It's like, come on.
Yeah, but wasn't it the Urge
Uma
Overkill?
Uma Thurman singing that song when John Travolta drops her back off again.
Is it the Neil Diamond version? I thought it was the Urge Overkill version.
No, it's the, well, it says Neil Diamond right there. Oh, performed by Urge Overkill.
Okay,
so there you go.
All right.
Hmm.
Yep, but it apparently was written by Neil Diamond.
So you already basically said it, but when I think of Pulp Fiction, you know, people incorrectly refer to it as the Pulp Fiction theme, which of course
it's not.
It's Misser Lou by Dick Dale and his Deltones.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, I mean, I've loved that song for a long time. It's just that surf rock is so cool. But when you go and try and find that song online, like 50% of the time you end up with like the Pulp Fiction cut, which starts with the audio from the robbery in the cafe. You know, everybody listen up, this is a robbery. Any of you move and I'll blow your heads
her
off.
Her voice is so grating in that scene.
It
makes me want to just like pull my headphones
off. But she says, I'll execute every last mother fluffing one of you. And then it just goes, boom.
We're watching the Channel 11 version of Pulp Fiction.
I try and keep it.
What's that Family Guy that did the joke, though, about Pulp Fiction is like the edited version of Pulp Fiction? And it's like Pulp Fiction, and you hear the song, and then the next thing, the credits roll.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yes, that movie in and of itself, the soundtrack was brilliant. Of course, all the acting in it, revitalizing John Travolta's career and cementing Samuel L. Jackson as like the greatest man of all time.
I just heard earlier today them talk about that was like Samuel Jackson's first, like that was his stardom.
Yeah.
Was Pulp Fiction.
Well, I mean, the crazy thing about it was that, you know, the movie that Quentin Tarantino did before that was Reservoir Dogs.
Okay, yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson had auditioned for a role in Reservoir Dogs. And Quentin Tarantino told him, it's like, I'm sorry. It's like, I don't have a part for you, you know, because all these guys are supposed to be, like, you know, white guys dressed, you know, exactly the same and all that. And it was part of the whole plan is that if they're all white guys and they're all dressed basically the same, then it's going to be harder to spot them, you know, like when they're fleeing and like that kind of stuff. It's like if one of the dudes is black, then he's going to stand out. So like that was kind of the reasoning behind it. But he loved his audition so much. He's like, look, it's like next movie I do, I'm making a part for you.
That's
and he
crazy.
Shows up and he gives him, you know, jewels. And it's like, it just, oh, man, like, what a great role. And he flat out told him, he's like, this is going to make you famous.
That's
like,
amazing.
This role is going to make you huge.
That's really amazing because I never knew that. But now knowing that he auditioned for Reservoir Dogs,
yes,
it all totally
now,
makes sense.
Once again there, Reservoir Dogs, brilliant soundtrack as well. Quentin Tarantino knows how to utilize music in his movies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I only say this because I thought about this when I looked at my list, but I considered putting like Kill Bill in there because they have very notable stuff too, and it also made me think of his Grindhouse film.
And I loved Grindhouse.
Death Proof, when he did Death Proof.
You want to know the reason why I liked the Grindhouse movies though is because of the trailers for the other movies.
Oh, for Machete. That was the best one.
If you're thinking about seeing this movie, don't.
Awesome.
Werewolf Nazis, like something crazy like that.
They were all so good.
Yeah. But Jake, what do you got for yours for number three?
This is something I still listen to. It's a little esoteric. I don't think we're going to all be going, oh yeah, I totally remember Rachel's song, but it's the soundtrack, in fact, the score for Blade Runner. The Ridley Scott.
That's a good one. That was kind of like, like techno-y kind of stuff. It was real digital because it was the future. So
yeah, but everything in there, there's a lot of synthesizer in it. True. It was made in the early 90s, so you can kind of still... It's weird because you'll hear a lot of analog synthesizers, like a lot of Moog going on, and then some really weird, like, straight-up Depeche Mode, like, laser noises coming over the top of it.
Yeah.
You know, but I've heard the soundtrack... The one thing that kind of ticks me off about it was that when they originally released the soundtrack in 1994, they released the orchestral version of it. It wasn't the actual... like original synthesized version.
Oh.
And nobody bought it. And then somebody went, hey, why don't we actually release what people like listening to in the movie?
Just the part you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, side note, Wendy Carlos collaborated a little bit on this album. Wendy Carlos was did the composer for Clockwork Orange and all of the
Clockwork Orange has always on the top list of
who's the director there?
Stanley Kubrick.
Kubrick, yeah. Kubrick's like official composer was Wendy Carlos, who released the very first synthesized album with the Moog synthesizer called Switched on Bach.
Of course, Stanley Kubrick, very famous, of course, for all of his soundtracks for the most
part. Space
Odyssey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, I still put this on, fall asleep to it, listen to it constantly.
See, I'm glad that the three of us have very different ends of the spectrum here because, should I get my number three?
Yeah, go ahead for your number three.
So my number three, this is probably the most, it's just kind of the genre of music again. So I kind of put these two movies together and combined them into one because I feel like the soundtracks are so similar, they should both just be acknowledged instead of just picking one or the other.
Go for it.
So the first one, Detroit, Rock City.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Because when you go down this list, the boys are back in town. It's Thin Lizzy, but performed by Everclear.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kiss on there, Van Halen. Cat Scratch Fever by Ted Nugent, but performed by Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
The whole soundtrack is like that for the most. I mean, half of them are the original artists. The other half is covers. You got Highway to Hell by AC/DC, performed by Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. But this genre and the fact too, I do like a good cover. So I had to acknowledge that. But then going.
Wait, I want to stick on that one for just a minute longer. Right. Sorry.
Time out.
The only the entire reason as to why I saw that movie was because of Jake. Because you had it and you were like, hey, you should probably watch this movie. And I was like, okay, fine. So I ended up watching it. And of course, I loved it because I thought it was just a great movie in general. But I actually do quote one line from this movie all the time. And that line comes from whatever, like what's her name, the girl that they pick up who is in the disco car, that where they take it's like Natasha something or whatever.
We'll go with Natasha.
But she's defending disco and they're talking about rock and stuff like that, and she goes, "Hey, good tunes is good tunes," and I still say that line to this day.
That's a good point, though. It is a good point.
I don't judge people for their taste in music. I can not like an artist. I can not like stuff that they do in real life or whatever, but I'm not going to judge somebody's taste in music because that's theirs. It's like, if they like the song, that's their thing. Why not let them have it? It's like, I don't need to be condescending to them.
Yeah, music should invoke emotion and passion and feelings. And if whatever pulls that out of you, then that's what it is.
Yes,
you just have to
appreciate that. Exactly. All right, what was your other one?
Well, and a little known secret, I really love classic rock. I really love Kiss. I really love Thin Lizzy. I really love Cheap Trick. And they're all over this.
Mm-hmm.
So Detroit Rock City with the covers, and then a little more of the actual straight-laced actual bands would then be the counterpart, Dazed and Confused. Another great soundtrack, you know. We're looking at Foghat, Alice Cooper, School's Out by Alice Cooper, and Dazed and Confused. Those two go hand in hand.
So, I've been dazed and confused.
Yeah. We got ZZ Top, Love Hurts by Nazareth, Ted Nugent, Cherry Bomb by the Runaways.
Nazareth. That's a band I don't hear mentioned in
this. Oh, yeah. Nazareth's great. They got Hair of the Dog.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Called them the Runaways because they couldn't call them Jailbait.
Yeah. Because they were all underage.
They were all underage.
They were like 13 when they recorded that.
It was pretty brutal. Like, and that was exactly what that dude was shooting for. He was like, I got a bunch of underage girls who are doing punk music. It's like, this is going to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's great. And so I just kind of paired those two together because the classic rock, especially like the 70s, I am all about that. Just the music in general.
And Dazed and Confused is such a good movie in and of itself.
Yeah.
Just because it really showcased that day and age, you know, with different characters like throughout it. There's a lot of good songs on the soundtrack in and of itself. And then, of course, we've got, Matthew McConaughey in it. Talking about betting underage girls.
All right. Yeah. And I think both of these movies kind of go hand in hand. Like, if I was going to make, like, a Grindhouse back-to-back double feature, I would probably do, like, a Dazed and Confused followed by Detroit Rock City or vice versa.
That's good. Let's do that next time. We'll just show up and watch movies.
So
forget recording a podcast. We'll just watch movies.
Yeah, why not?
But let's see. Moving on to my number two, and this one easily went into number two for this list on me, and that is High Fidelity.
Oh, yeah.
Now, High Fidelity has a special place in my heart just for being such a great film in and of itself. John Cusack at his best, a then to me unknown Jack Black. And so, like, that movie introduced Jack Black to me, especially when he sings at the end, Let's Get It On. And it just, like, I was like, holy cow, this dude can actually sing. And then, you know, all of the other songs that they throw in there. I mean, it's like I Want Candy, Crocodile Rock, Crimson and Clover, Jacob's Ladder, Walking on Sunshine. Let's see. I Can't Stand the Rain. Like, oh, so many songs on here that are just crazy good.
I'll interject honorable mention, School of Rock with Jack Black. Anyways.
Yeah, no, yeah, that one is definitely up there as well, just from the random songs that are in there, but also because they were the fact that they got the Immigrant Song,
which
is an amazing thing, and as we were talking about before, is now then used in the Thor Ragnarok trailer, and so it's like, man, how much did they have to pay for that one? Because I know Jack Black begging to be allowed to use that song, like, that's what got them. But then,
yeah, they sent him a video with 1,000 extras screaming, "We need Led Zeppelin."
Yeah, when they were recording the final scene with the band playing, you know, at the School of Rock.
Yeah,
at the battle of the bands in the middle of an afternoon on a school day, and it's packed out. Really, I'm sorry.
I thought that was weird too.
But for me, like, they filmed an extra little thing. And Jack Black is begging Led Zeppelin, please, we need this song. We need to use this song. Please let us use it. And then he starts singing it too. And like the crowd goes insane and Led Zeppelin actually watched it. And they were like, all right, go ahead and use the song.
So it was great because he taught the kids how to play Smoke on the Water. Mm-hmm. He taught the keyboard player to play The Doors.
Yep.
And then at the end of the movie,
Come on and touch me, babe.
Yeah.
And then you see that I'm not afraid.
And then they roll.
Lawrence is good at piano.
And then they roll the credits and they're playing It's a Long Way to the Top by AC/DC.
Yeah, by AC/DC, So, but good stuff. So,
I didn't mean to pull you off of High Fidelity.
Total side note, High Fidelity, though, is an amazing film. And actually, it taught me a lot about relationships, which is kind of weird because I don't think that was like really what they were trying to do in the movie. Maybe it was like, man, I really should not do what what John Cusack does in that movie because he's kind of a tool throughout most of it. but I loved like the other little things that they mention. Even when he talks about like her top choices in artists, it's like, you know, Cat Stevens. And like, I was like, man, it's like, I love Cat Stevens. Like that's a great reference. But even weirder than that, like I remember when he does that entire thing where he's running off the list of like his current ex-girlfriend, the one he's kind of like trying to figure out why it went wrong. And, he says, you know, it's like, it's little things, you know, that it's like, that are just like crazy. It's like the fact that when she can't get to sleep, she rubs her feet together an even amount of times. And I was like, oh my God, I do that too. It's like just weird little stuff like that clicked with me in that film. But The soundtrack in and of itself, just crazy, crazy good. But still not my most influential soundtrack because I saved that for number one. But Jake, what do you got for number two?
Number two, I still want to talk about High Fidelity.
Okay, what do you want to talk about? Go ahead.
Well, that was the first soundtrack that popped in my head when you said, let's do a soundtrack album or show. And like the standouts from the film for me is just how much it feels like it's a continuation of John Cusack's character who was holding the boombox above his head in another film.
Mm-hmm. Say anything. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like if
it's
you
like,
look
hey,
at this soundtrack.
This is what happens when that guy turns 38, you know?
I mean, like, if you look at this soundtrack, the number of songs on here, it says there are 57 songs total used in the film.
Yeah.
In the film. Like, and it's just, it's one thing on top of another of just fantastic songs. And then, of course, like, even, like, little stuff in that they threw in there of, like, Bruce Springsteen showing up. And
is the Jack Black singing at the end of it, is that actually on the soundtrack?
Yes. Like, okay. in the actual release soundtrack, they had him do, like, that version of the song. Which,
oh
of course,
God.
Was.
You don't have blonde on blonde. Right, it's okay. We can fix this.
Yeah.
So,
it made me want to work in a record store like so bad. And then when I actually went to record stores, I was like, man, these guys are tools. I don't want to work here ever. It's like, why can't you guys be like John Cusack and Jack Black and that other dude who shows up in other movies and is always the weird guy?
So,
I loved that guy. And then he hooks up with Sarah Gilbert at the end.
Yes.
Ooh. But what's her name doing the cover of Baby I Love You Way? Or
yes.
I Love Your Way.
Yeah.
Doing Peter Frampton, you know. It's like it's just that is an amazing cover of that song and I loved it. And it's like it made me want to go back and like, you know, listen to other stuff. So.
And that dude, his character in the movie mentions two Japanese bands that were very obscure that I listened to in high school, Melt Banana and Ruins. And I was just like, what?
Those are real bands.
Yeah.
Wow.
But also I will give High Fidelity credit because it started me on my vinyl collection. And now like I'm like 500 plus albums that I've got in my collection. So unfortunately, my table is kind of like jacked up right now, so I need to get a new one.
I wanted just to take a quick second to point out one thing to our listeners as well. I'm sure many of you are already aware of this, but one of the things too you got to keep in mind when you're talking about these movie soundtracks is the fact that somebody has to sit down and actually pick out the song specifically to fit the moment, to fit the right mood. But they're also constrained by what is available to them
because
every song you use, you have to pay for to use in the movie. And that's why, for example, you hear like ABC by Jackson 5, and you might hear that in songs a lot, and it's because it's very cheap and very obtainable.
Right. Yes.
And people, if they can't get anything else, they'll get that song if it works, you know? And so when you start getting a really great soundtrack like High Fidelity, that was probably also a very high bill that was being paid aside for the music royalty costs. And so that's why when you have a great soundtrack, there's really, you know that somebody really cared about the music because they had to get the rights to all those songs and they had to pay a lot for certain. That's why Immigrant Song, like we said, is such a big deal, is because sometimes you just can't get it.
Right.
So I gotta say though, also about with High Fidelity though, the entire reason as to why I think we are doing this particular show is because of that movie. Because in it, he constantly is doing his top five. top five songs about death.
Yeah.
Top five, you know, songs pre whatever this. It's like, you know.
And you're a list guy, so obviously.
I'm a list guy, totally. That, yeah. And then even at the end of the movie, he like does a record label and he calls it Top Five Records. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that crap. And exactly. From that moment on, after I saw that movie, I started doing top five lists in my head.
See, I hate putting numbers to things. So, like, every time I put a number to rate an album that we reviewed,
yeah.
I'm like, this feels so arbitrary. But you know what, Brian? I know you love it, so yeah. I'll try.
I'm on the same page as you because, like...
Well, you two can suck it, yeah. So...
my list of movies here... Like, I am so paranoid that somebody's going to listen to this and be like, really? That's your number two? Really? And
oh, it's
like,
screw those guys. Let them make their own list.
Well, yeah, but I think the point, though, is that, like, these aren't my favorite movies, but this is, like, music
this is
that
what
I think
this
is good.
This is what, our, you know, falls into the categories of what we like, and then, you know, this is what we're discussing. So,
yeah.
Jake, what you got? And, keep going. Fine.
Just,
we'll keep going on this.
Just to bounce back off of what Greg was saying about about the cost of, like, you know, making movies. Are you Arrested Development fan?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's one episode where even Ron Howard couldn't afford to use a Beatles song. There's a voiceover where he comes on in the episode. We wanted to do this to Yellow Submarine, but who could afford it? Big Yellow Boat. A big yellow boat. We all went down in a big yellow boat. It's really, yeah.
That's funny.
Is. It's true.
I remember in the movie The Commitments.
Yeah.
I would have included that on one of my lists because it's a musical in my opinion because it's about the band and their performances and stuff. But they did one reference to the Beatles song where they did the horn part, da 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 da, like, you know, in reference to the horn player, like, having played on that album, for All You Need Is Love. He was like, All You Need Is Love, da 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 da. And the guy actually said, he's like, that was like, you know, a third of our budget for the movie was just that.
Yeah.
I was like, good Lord.
So they had a heck of a team for High Fidelity to
put
that music together, well-connected people,
mm-hmm.
relying on years of... relationships in the industry to do that.
Well, I think the guy who originally wrote the book and stuff, like, he had a lot of connections to artists, and so I mean it's kind of like that's how it played out. And then Cusack is a huge music guy.
Okay.
Most people don't know that. Like, people think that, oh, he's an actor, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. No, he is a huge, huge music guy. And in fact, people have said that, you know, if you start talking to him about acting or movies and stuff like that, he'll be pretty straightforward. You start talking to him about music, and especially if you go, like, obscure, and he knows it, he becomes your best friend. So
there you go. If you're on a bus with John Cusack, bring up Captain Beefheart.
There you go.
But speaking of connections in Hollywood.
Go for it.
Who doesn't want to work with Wes Anderson?
I definitely want to work with Wes Anderson.
I do, too. I would work Wes Anderson. That didn't work as anyone.
That didn't sound good. No, is this your number two already?
This is my number two.
What do you got?
Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Ooh, good choice. Hmm. Good mm-hmm. choice.
A lot of David Bowie. A lot of David Bowie done by a Frenchman.
Yes.
And... everything else. It's
was it French? I thought it was Portuguese.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, I thought he did like all the songs in Portuguese.
Yeah, well.
But that's what I loved that about that movie, too. Like, I thought that was great. I was like, hey, let's have a bunch of songs by somebody else, but let's do them in another language.
We haven't recorded a show yet where I haven't screwed up the nationality of somebody. I don't know why. But yeah, I mean... Devo. I mean, Gut Feeling by Devo. Just throw it in there. Why not? It worked, you know, worked for the scene.
Yeah.
Stooges.
Yeah, Stooges. Good one.
Right. I don't know. And David Bowie to finish out the entire film with Queen Bitch.
Wow. So, man, that is a good one. That is definitely a good soundtrack. It's probably not, it's certainly not my favorite Wes Anderson movie. I will tell you that much.
Really?
Yes. But... you know, it's one of those movies that I can definitely enjoy, mm-hmm. and the soundtrack was really, really good. And you, like my brother, also really love that movie and the soundtrack. So
I don't know if I can pick a favorite Wes Anderson movie, to be honest. I mean, I'm white. I'm going to like them all. But even
I still haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom, though.
You haven't?
No, I have not. I've been trying to work up to it.
Yeah.
But
dude, call me. Just call me.
Okay.
Anytime you have... 2 hours to do something, and
but it's on Netflix and stuff.
I know that that's what I'm saying. Just give me a call. I will come over.
It's on my list to watch. I just haven't done it yet.
Well,
yeah, see, same here.
I think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what you got, Greg, for number two?
Ooh, number two. This might actually be, well, it's my number two because I do have a number one. So, bit of my fun side here. Whenever you have the discussion of what's a movie, like, what's the movie you've seen the most times ever in your life?
Top Gun, okay.
I admitted that it was 8 Mile, but the truth is this is actually the one movie I have seen more than any other movie in existence.
Top Gun.
It is Adam Sandler.
Flight of the Navigator. Sorry.
Good one. That actually has a good soundtrack, so I don't want to hear it.
Sorry, I'm dying to listen.
Well,
I'm dying to hear
it. It's just cool because that is a good movie.
I can't get over the scene where the editing and the kid's hair, he got a haircut in between doing reshoots. And it, anyway, go ahead.
That dude got arrested recently, too.
Great.
Wow.
In Canada.
Well, my number two movie, but the number one movie I've seen the most in my life, and I had to bump it up here. Adam Sandler in The Wedding Singer.
Classic.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Not only does Adam Sandler and his band in the movie do some doozies, one of the best ones being Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club.
Do you really want to hurt me?
You need to get back in here. They're starting to turn on George. After they play it for the third time in a row.
It over and over again.
Yeah.
Give me time. The guy's like, what? But not only does his band do some great ones, the whole movie kicks off with another real doozy, You Spin Me Round Like a Record by Dead or Alive.
Yep.
How the movie starts. But then what really got me, though, was when they weren't performing songs, the music was still on point.
Yeah.
Some of the ones specifically that stood out to me. Well, I told you the first time I ever heard, Pass the Duchy on the left-hand side. Say
yeah.
Pass. It's just playing in the limousine when his buddy comes up to like pick him up at the house. That one, Blue Monday by New Order. That's the How Does It Feel. White Wedding by Billy Idol. And Billy Idol's
in the
film,
movie,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's
nobody
just,
touches Billy Idol.
Exactly. It's on point, and the great thing, too, is that it's a lot of good 80s music to fit the theme, because the movie's supposed to be 1985. But then they also have a few moments where they're covers. So the end credits, it's Video Killed the Radio Star, originally by the Buggles, but it's actually performed by the Presidents of the United States of America.
Yep.
Big band in the 90s. So this list just really hits home, because not only is it... does it mean a lot to me personally? But then you go through here and just stuff like You Make My Dreams by Hall & Oates. And unfortunately...
You make my dreams come true.
And, you know, I will mention, too, one song on this list here that we actually just learned probably about an hour ago.
Yep.
Is the passing of Jay Giles.
Yep.
Lead singer of Jay Giles' band.
Love Stinks.
Which, in the movie... they do Love Stinks after Adam gets broken up with,
yeah.
And he's all upset, so he does that at the wedding and gets his lights
such
knocked
a
out.
Good scene.
So, just like
when
to
he
say,
gets like the other losers at the table to also say Love Stinks. This guy knows what I'm talking about.
This guy here, that lady over there, and the entirety of Table 9.
Yeah.
But R.I.P. to Jay Giles as well. Unfortunate news we just got a few moments ago.
Yeah.
But that's my number two, The Wedding Singer. Great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack, great movie.
Don't forget Rapper's Delight.
Oh, yeah,
from the
but
Sugar
from
Hill
the granny.
Gang. They made it on because,
she
was singing
hip,
it at the end.
Don't
stop. So, good one.
That's good. So, Jake, remember how I said that Life Aquatic wasn't my favorite Wes Anderson movie?
I didn't want to spoil, but
of course
I knew
not,
it was coming.
Because you knew it was coming.
Yeah, I did.
My favorite Wes Anderson movie and my favorite soundtrack that is a non-musical is Rushmore.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
Number one.
So, let me go back just a little bit. The entire reason as to why I watched this movie was because of my brother. So, my brother went and saw it in theaters, and he was like, this movie is amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're stupid. You're my older brother. How dare you tell me what I'm going to like? And then, like, you know, later on, he bought, like, the DVD version of it. And he's like, seriously, you have to watch this movie. You have to watch it. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll watch it. So I put it on, and I watch it. And it freaking blows me away with how funny it is. And the soundtrack was just weird. And I loved it. But Like, I mean, even here, even in like the songs that aren't included on the actual soundtrack that were in the movie, Jersey Thursday by Donovan, I Am Waiting by the Rolling Stones. It's like, you know, those were songs that weren't included on the soundtrack. But then when you've got the actual like soundtrack coming out of here, you got Nothing in This World Can Stop Me Worrying About That Girl by the Kinks. And then you've got, A Summer Song by Chad and Jeremy, which was just a great song. Here Comes My Baby by Cat Stevens. A Quick One While He's Away by The Who, which is one of their best songs ever.
Dang!
Sorry. Such a good one. And then
That song in that movie.
Oh, Yoko by John Lennon. Ooh La La by The Faces.
The Faces.
Yes. Do you not remember that song?
Yes.
So I wish
I'm just not nearly as excited about it.
I knew what I know now.
When
I was younger.
Oh, okay.
But that, I mean, like, and then of course, The Wind by Cat Stevens. All-time favorite Cat Stevens song. I listen to the wind of my soul. Mm. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows.
What's amazing to this is every time you start to sing one of these songs, I remember exactly what scene of the movie that's in.
And that's what makes all these soundtrack songs great. Is the moment you hear the song and you think, oh, you know, like Say Anything, you just immediately imagine John Cusack with the boombox over his head. Moments like that, that's what this is about.
I mean, Rushmore here in and of itself, I mean, besides being the, you know, the Wes Anderson film, I mean, obviously it stars Jason Schwartzman, which Jason Schwartzman in and of himself is a musician and was in like a pretty popular band back in the day.
And was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
But I mean, it's also got, Olivia Williams, Bill Murray, and then like Owen Wilson showing up there, who also like co-wrote the movie. And I mean, like, it's just funny and weirdly quirky and weirdly shot. And it's just absolutely perfect. And the soundtrack fits with it perfectly. So that is my all-time number one. And the reason why is because after Jamie bought the soundtrack, I stole it. And I listened to it like nonstop after that. I put it on and I would listen to every song played, even the score stuff that they did, which was like the weird violin flute stuff that they did. But I mean, I remember like we were coming back from space camp in Huntsville, Alabama, and I was listening to this soundtrack, like just playing in my head. And so it is ingrained into me. If I put this soundtrack on, I know every note to it. I know like every line to every song. And that is why I listed it as my number one, because it is weirdly ingrained into my soul.
Because
I'm a nerd and Jason Schwartzman in the movie is a total nerd. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, what you got for your number one?
All right. Does the name Basil Polidorius mean anything to either of you?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, I didn't have to look that name up because he has composed music for several of my favorite movies. He is from Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, nice.
And went to USC with a St. Louis native, John Milius, filmmaker.
Oh, nice.
And the guy that wrote RoboCop.
Okay.
Don't remember his name. By the way, RoboCop, original title of it was called Steel and Flesh. Much better title. So thanks, Hollywood.
There you go.
But Basil Polidorius was a composer. He took a film appreciation class with John Milius and this other gentleman. And when John Milius, after he wrote Dirty Harry, the original Dirty Harry.
Okay.
And started to get some cred in Hollywood. And he was writing a script for a little movie called Conan the Barbarian.
Mm.
And he went to his friend Basil Polidorius, and Basil Polidorius wrote all the music for Conan the Barbarian, and that kind of put him on the map. And from there, a lot of really kind of terrible movies that have great music in it he worked on, like RoboCop, Starship Troopers, Blue Lagoon.
Oh, I love Starship Troopers.
Yeah, but...
Click here for more information.
It's a bad movie that's good. Yeah, it's a good, exactly. Bad.
Yes, it is. And it's amazing that they're still kind of trying to make those two.
And one of the few...
I heard they're actually trying to reboot Starship Troopers.
Yes, they are.
Well, they...
To do more like the book, which is going to suck.
They ended up doing like a bunch of like those sequels that were just the name.
Yeah.
But I will say, though, Neil Patrick Harris, a rare appearance by him between Doogie Howser and Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, and yeah, and then of course after that being How I Met Your Mother. So.
Yeah, but Starship Troopers, the rare appearance from near Neil Patrick Harris before his reemergence with
it's
Harold
afraid.
And Kumar.
So bad.
But he also did a couple other movies you might have
also
seen.
Also introduced Casper Van Dien. So
and Casper Van Dien! Boy, the USA Network in the early 2000s, loved Casper Van Dien.
Just like put him in a crap ton of movies.
I guess. I don't know. I guess the contract that he had signed to get Lou Diamond Phillips movies had like expired and they needed somebody else. So anyway. But you might have seen Mickey Blue Eyes, Celtic Pride, or For Love of the Game.
Those yeah, I remember For Love of the Game.
That was all Basil. However, I can that Conan the Barbarian soundtrack, the track Riders of Doom. When the horses are coming through the trees, gets me every time. And I read an interview with John Milius where he told him the only notes that he gave Basil for that entire movie was for that scene. He's just like, I just want something that sounds big. So Basil composed something with the biggest, literally physically the biggest instruments in an orchestra. It's all timpanis. French horns is the smallest. There's no trumpets in it. There's no strings in it. It's just voices. And I looked this up today. Never knew that they were actually singing in Italian, right? But the lyrics for that song are swords, we seek swords, savage ones. We Iron Kings, servants of doom. Farewell heaven, farewell earth, farewell snow, we die. Farewell as servants of doom, we die.
Wow.
That's pretty epic.
That's big.
That is stupid epic.
Somebody needs to like turn that into a metal song.
I know. You know what? It's probably already been done and it was Man of War that did it.
I'm sure.
But anyhow, I love that movie. I don't think it gets enough credit. And Basil Poledourius, he died. Oh, geez. When did he die? It was 2006, age 61. Way too young for somebody as talented as him.
Wow. I can tell you right now that movie doesn't get enough credit.
It doesn't.
I can admit that because I know.
It's so good.
See, I have not even... I feel bad. I haven't even seen your number one choice here, man. I've never seen Conan the Barbarian.
All right. I'm declaring a movie night for the Follow the Sound crew.
I am familiar with it, but I've never seen it.
Like, dude. This needs to be done like immediately.
Is it that good?
It is so underrated. James Earl Jones is thoroughly terrifying as Thulsa Doom.
He is. He looks kind of goofy, but he is crazy awesome.
Well, he looks goofy because he has
that hair.
It's the hair and the contacts that he's wearing.
Yes, yes.
He wears contacts in it.
I've always written it off thinking that it was probably too campy or cheesy or something, you know?
Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger has maybe 10 lines in the entire film. They use him perfectly as just a physical actor because he's actually a pretty decent physical actor. And just don't let him talk enough. Don't let him talk too much because that's how you end up with Jingle All the Way.
Mm.
Right? It's an epic movie. It's tragedy. It's terror. It is the A-Team thrown into a fantasy epic.
Yeah.
And like everyone who's involved with it, the guy who originally wrote the Conan books.
Oh, man, I'm blanking on that one.
Oh, jeez. Everyone died in tragedy. Who John Milius, the director right now, hasn't had a voice for like 10 years. Like, he literally just has a condition, like Parkinson's, where he can't talk. Everyone involved in it is involved in tragedy, and out of it came this just beautiful cinescope of talent.
Wow.
There's no other way to put it.
Hey, I'll watch it. It was written
by Robert E. Howard.
There you go, Robert E. Howard. That's Mr. Conan right there.
I see. I always get the references. It always just seemed like it was a joke, you know. And I've never even looked into it. But that's what I get. That's what I deserve, is to miss out on something good because I just took someone else's word for it.
No, it doesn't. Man, it does not get enough credit. All right, I'm done talking about it.
No, but seriously, we need to watch it. So
I'm down.
How about you give me a few weeks, let me get settled in my new place, and then we'll have a movie night.
Okay. I'll bring the popcorn.
I'll bring hummus.
Hummus? I got some popcorn. I'll bring popcorn and sweet tea.
I'll tell Jessica that we're going to do that. Or we can do it at one of your places. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. You know. But
well,
we can figure out somewhere else to do it, too. Let's just do it here. Why not? But, yeah, Greg, you are closing out the show. What do you got for your number one? It better be epic.
This is definitely epic. One of the greatest films in existence, in my opinion.
Top Gun.
And the soundtrack that went with it definitely did its purpose. Half of the songs on this list, when I hear them, I flash back to the moment where it's being played in the movie. And that movie is the epic known as Forrest Gump.
Oh!
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Oh.
Boom!
Oh, he did it.
Forrest Gump. Okay, so let's bring back some memories, shall we? Early in the movie, Hound Dog, Elvis Presley.
Yes. Yep.
Boom. He plays it not only in the room, but then they see it on the TV later. He does the dance, and then we learn that he got his crazy leg wobble dances from Forrest Gump. And making fun of him. Right? Okay. How about, let's go to this one, Fortunate Son, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Absolutely.
Do you not think Vietnam?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Vietnam.
You mean the war in Vietnam?
Vietnam. So there's one. How about, For What It's Worth, Buffalo Springfield? Aren't they totally trudging through a wetland marsh?
Yeah.
Am I right?
How many roads must a man walk down?
Exactly. That's Jenny.
Do you know the actress there? She actually like was sick during that scene.
Really?
Because she had to be like naked for a very long period of time,
so
she was super cold. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. But another point proven. I mean, I can keep going down this.
Go for it.
Break on through to the other side by the Doors.
Yep.
We know that things are getting kind of crazy with the drugs and the partying.
Funny, Forrest Gump met Jim Morrison and was like, "Hey, do you want to see my genitals?" and then Jim Morrison was like, "I got to do that sometime."
That was a deleted scene. Yeah. Here's another one. To everything turn.
Great song. Really great song.
The Birds, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Joy to the World, Three Dog Night. I mean, and I am just skipping through here, but
to the world.
Absolutely. One of the first ones that I always think of, and for me personally, my introduction to Jackson Browne, Running on Empty.
Yeah.
And I imagine Forrest, montage, but I imagine him running through the desert. I imagine him, his cross-country run.
You know, Running on Empty has a local connection, right?
I know that Jackson Browne wrote a couple of songs in Edwardsville.
Yes.
At the Holiday Inn.
I pass by that where it used to be, at least every week, because it's a different route than I normally take to go to work, because I work in Edwardsville. But
Jackson Browne, he wrote the song Cocaine, and he wrote another song at the Holiday Inn in Edwardsville.
It was Running on Empty.
Was it Running on Empty? Okay, there you go. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I knew it. He was in his hotel room and he wrote a couple, but
yep.
So there you go.
Hotel does not exist anymore, but
that sucks.
It has since been torn down. But yes, I know exactly where it was, and I pass by there on occasion. So.
Just between you and I, who actually are familiar with these landmarks, but where in Edwardsville was it? Was it like right off of 159?
Actually, it's just off of 157.
157?
Yeah, you in a certain spot, you go up this hill over 157, and it used to be right up there. So, yep.
Interesting. I'm going to look into that more later.
Go ahead.
Okay. Just a few more here, but Go Your Own Way, Fleetwood Mac. Once again, him running around. On the Road Again, Willie Nelson, him still doing his running scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the final running scene. Honestly, I think when he ran across country was the most iconic for the music for me.
Yep.
That and the Vietnam scenes as well. But the last one, Against the Wind, Bob Seger and Silver Bullet Band. And I mean, we could go on and on, but just the music in that movie, just nailed all the emotions. They were trying to convey all the different decades, different time periods, and the feelings, and all the music was just perfect for all of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
good stuff.
So there you go. My number one, absolutely Forrest Gump, both the soundtrack and the movie itself.
Nice. I like it. Good stuff.
Yes.
Everybody, good job. Yay. These were some phenomenal top fives. And I think that we covered a wide variety of movies,
and we could keep going too.
That's the sad part.
Yeah,
because there's got to be at least 100 other movies that we could absolutely say this soundtrack was amazing. This soundtrack was brilliant.
When
we were doing our prep, we were
shooting down things like Star Wars, and you know, because it's iconic, but we just wanted to get to other things.
Yeah,
I wanted to talk about Indiana Jones. Yeah,
like. Anything that involves, like, I mean, going back even further than that, I mean, like, there are so many movies that just had really, really good soundtracks that would be great to do.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, even the score for Gone with the Wind is a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
You know, but...
Well, I
there
tried...
There are too many to choose, so I picked ones that, like, really kind of impacted me.
Yeah.
Just with, you know, at certain points in my life when I came across it, so...
I tried to pick movies that specifically just had, like, actual artist songs that existed outside of the movie that were just used for the movie.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't, you know, pick something like Star Wars. But, I mean, Forrest Gump is the perfect example of that for me.
But, I mean, I'm going to tell you, like, I completely eliminated, like, my favorite soundtrack of all time because I considered the movie to be a musical. And, I mean, I will tell you this, that I watched the movie. And I watched the movie at night. Like, I was at my then-girlfriend's house, who she is now my wife. And I got the movie because, I heard that this has some music in it, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why not watch it? And we watched it, and it blew me away. And I drove home. I got home maybe around midnight or so. And there's, in Collinsville, there's a 24-hour Walmart. I literally got off the road, went into the Walmart, and bought the soundtrack.
Can I guess?
It was seriously, like, from watching the movie to finishing, it took me an hour to get the soundtrack. The only other time that I've done it faster than that was with another musical. The exact same thing happened.
I want to take a guess.
On what movie it is?
I'm starting to learn you pretty well, to get to know you.
You might not get this one.
Oh, really?
You might not.
Well, it was either Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Nope.
Or A Mighty Wind.
A Mighty Wind was the second one I mentioned because I saw that one and then I drove to another Walmart and I bought that one.
Okay.
But the one that really hooked me the most is a movie called Once.
Oh.
And it is directed by a guy named John Carney, and it stars Glenn Hansard and Marketa Irglova. And Glenn Hansard is well known in Ireland for being in a band called The Frames, and he's done a bunch of songs, but he started out as a busker, and then he, you know, worked his way up and got a band and is now pretty famous for that. Marketa Irglova was a complete unknown at the time, and John Carney had written this part for, or had written this thing for this movie where a busker and this girl who sells stuff on the street, like, kind of team up for, you know, this guy's music and helps him record an album. Like in about a week's time. And the original actor who was supposed to be in there dropped out. And so he was like, well, it's like, well, Glenn was already going to do all the music anyway. So I can make him, you know, act. Like, it's, that's not going to be hard at all. So put Glenn Hansard and Marketa Irglova in this movie. And the first scene alone, I watched this movie and he sings this song and it's this great shot. He's standing in a street. And the camera sort of slowly, very, very slowly, like, gets closer and closer to him as he sings this song called Say It To Me Now. And the song's only like an hour, or not an hour, like a minute 40, like, long from when he starts to when he finishes. And I remember, like, sitting there and I was watching it with Jessica, and he plays the song and he finishes, and I paused the movie and I looked at her and I was crying. And I said, that's the kind of music I want to write.
Aww.
And that's, seriously, that is what I've been striving for this entire time in me being a musician, is to write music as good as Glenn Hansard does.
Wow.
I did the same thing for Glee Season 3.
I'm sure you did. So that movie has a deep emotional connection for me. So that's like a, you know, a side track. But I consider that one to be a musical. But the soundtrack for it is just beyond amazing, in my opinion. It's the soundtrack for that, and then a bunch of other stuff that Glenn Hansard has done. They're easily in like my top tens of like favorite albums.
So another new thing I've learned about you today.
Yeah.
Another movie I've never seen before, and I will have to check it
out.
And
if you want
to
check out any of Glenn's earlier stuff, check out his band The Frames and the album Fitzcarraldo, because it's amazing. Which then is really funny, because the movie the name Fitzcarraldo comes from the movie Fitzcarraldo, which is a Werner Herzog movie, which is a brilliant film in and of itself. Watch that one if you want to get a chance to do that, because it's all about a man who is pursuing music to the like nth degree. He does all of these crazy, extraordinary things to try and make money so he can build an opera in the village that he's in Brazil. I believe it's Brazil.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I have one
crazy.
I have one fun idea to wrap up this show.
Go ahead. What you got?
I put 15 seconds on the clock. I think all at once, we should try and name all the movies we wish we could have talked about, but we're not going to, and just say them in 15 seconds.
Do we each get 15?
I think in 15 seconds, we should all just be talking at the same time.
Oh, my God. It's like, well, see, that's the problem. I'm a list dude, so
okay.
It's like, for me to like just start naming out stuff, that's going to be hard, because we've already talked about most of my favorites.
We got to show some love for the movies we missed. Here we go. 15 seconds on the clock. Okay. SLC Punk.
Godspell.
Because it's got
American in
music.
Paris.
There's American Werewolf
Pink
in London.
Pink Panther.
Ghostbusters.
Begin
Can't
Again.
Forget about Ghostbusters.
Go for another one. The Commitments.
Yeah. I wish we could have said Blues Brothers, but...
Walk Hard.
That's
the
good.
Dewey,
the
Cox
Dewey Cox story.
Story.
The Dewey Cox story, yeah.
All right. And
Walk
that's time!
Hard. That was good. Man, there's too many.
I know.
Too many. You guys started mentioning them. It started popping more in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about some of these other ones that I could go through.
Just have to wait for the next one.
Just going to have to wait. Going to have to wait. Either way, folks, thanks for listening to this episode of Follow the Sound. I know it wasn't an album review. We didn't play any music. But so what? We do whatever we want on this show, because that's what we do. We follow the sound wherever it happens to lead. And I think that this is a classic example of that. Because each one of these movies had something in common, even though they were all vastly different movies. And that is the music that was involved with them. Yes, it's a visual medium, but the music that was involved with them captured our attention and made us want to go out and actually buy them. And that's exactly what Follow the Sound is about. We hear a song, doesn't matter where it comes from, how it gets into our ears. Could be a commercial, could be a TV show, could be a movie, could be somebody playing it in their car as they're driving by. But it's just something that clicks in your head, and you've got to follow the sound, and you've got to figure out where it leads. And that's what this show is entirely about. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me has been Jacob Crum.
Hail Nevis, hail Iron, hail Weapons, hail Gore!
And of course, Greg Harvey.
Ah, my name's Greg Harvey.
And if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.